going to just methodically go through some scripture. And there's some others that I wish were here this morning. Unfortunately, they are not. Maybe not here yet. I don't know. But we're just going to, I'm going to do what I feel God put on the heart. And go through something that I believe is very, very important. For a simple title, I'm going to title it The Holy Ghost, Prophecy and Fulfillment. We're going to work with both sides of this. There's a whole lot in the Bible to preach about, and we can preach and teach until we're blue in the face. But I'm going to say that the more I have been studying and praying and reading and seeking after God, there is nothing more important than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said there's nothing more important than the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there are some scriptures that we're going to go through this morning that will prove to us that we can learn a lot of things about the Holy Ghost. But about a lot of different things, but there's nothing more important, more valuable than receiving the Holy Ghost. The Bible is our roadmap. Right. And if I was to take you out in the middle of nowhere in California, and I said that there was a treasure for you that was in Maine, out on a certain location in Maine, and I told you the treasure is all yours. It will be the greatest treasure that you could ever find, you could ever imagine. But you were somewhere in California, and you didn't have your cell phone. And you were just and you had to figure out how to get there. How many of you would be able to get to Maine? There would probably, you just try to figure it out. Now, the fact of the matter is that you would know how to get from point A to point B without a map. Without something, we all can say, well, I was just to go that way. Okay? You could just say, I'm just going to go straight east. And then when I get to the ocean, I'll just follow the coastline all the way up. But there's a specific location that you've got to get to. There's a specific location that you've got to get to. And if you don't have a map, if you don't have a direction, you can't get there. I know just as well as many of us do, we depend so much on the technology of today. The other day, I punched in an address location, and it kept on coming up. It would go for a little while and then say, please return to route. I'd be like, I am on the route. What are you talking about? Then you drive a little further, please return to the route. I am on the route. Quit telling me that. Huh? And some, and I'm going to use that right now, that there's some that think that they're on the right route.
Right.
And in the map, Siri or whoever's on the deal is telling you, rerouting. You can't get there from here. The other thing about these crazy technology maps is also the fact that, and this is another thing that happened to me when I went to down to cross the border and then came back the other day, it kept on popping up. You can save 16 minutes by taking this route. You can take this, da da da. I did one of those. You know what? It made me mad. You know why it made me mad? It took me on a little two-lane highway that went like this, all the way up the mountain and down the other side. I said, how in the world did that save 16 minutes? It's driving me crazy. Of course, Maston didn't know about it because he was sleeping. But it's probably good because he would have gotten sick. And nevertheless, you understand what I'm saying? I thought, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that dumb map again. It tells me that's a shorter route. That wasn't a shorter route. That was miserable. And there's a lot of things in this life that are going to say, hey, there's a shorter way to get to heaven.
Right.
Amen. There's a, hey, you can cut off here, and this will take you to you'll still get to the same place, but I'm going to tell you, friend, don't bother with that type of man that tries to tell you, hey, this can save you 16 minutes. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to talk like that. You don't have to walk. Hey, that's all unnecessary. No, brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, it's not cutting off any time. You got to stay on the straight and narrow, for wide is the gate gate that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Amen. Don't get caught up with the idea of the masses. Well, everybody can't be wrong. That is an ideology of the day. Well, everybody, hey, you've heard it before just like I have. Well, everybody's going to heaven. I hate to tell you this. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what the roadmap said.
Right.
Amen. As a matter of fact, the roadmap said that hell hath enlarged herself. Hell is building on because it's going to be full to capacity because of the wrong direction.
Yes.
And so if we're going to get from point A to point B, we got to follow the roadmap. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All things concerning this life and the next are right there.
Yes.
They're in that Bible that you have today. It is our only reliable source of information concerning the kingdom of God. It is our only reliable source. I understand there's many say, oh, that's just a history book. Oh, that's just another book. That's another. But we have even gone through our Bible studies on a personal level with many people. And the reason why we stick with a King James Version Bible is because it is the closest to the original Greek and Hebrew. And I'm not going to go into all of that because there's a lot of Bibles coming out today that have watered it down, that have made the directions every which way. And it's not clear. Amen. And so we need to stick with the Word of God, understand the Word of God. We must learn to do what Paul told the young man Timothy. And he said, rightly divide, rightly discern, rightly understand the Word of truth.
Yeah.
Isaiah said it was to be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Now, if you're like me, I'm pretty good with directions, but at the same time, I still have to refer back to the map from time to time. Amen. Even though I know I can go on I-80 from coast to coast just about, that doesn't mean that that's always going to be the best route. Huh? Yeah, there might be some, okay, but now I'm talking the physical, in the spiritual. I've got to go back to the roadmap, to the Bible, and consider what thus saith the Word of the Lord. And I can understand that it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It's going to take some time. Even in our fast-paced world and society, this living for God is a journey.
Yes.
It's not a destination.
Yeah.
Obviously, our destination is heaven. Right? But this life in which we are taking this journey right now, it is a process. It is a line upon line. It is a precept upon precept. It is here a little and there a little. Brother Jonathan got to share with me just a little bit. He said, I've been living for God all these years, but I went to camp and there was something that was preached, and I got a revelation. And he even said this, I hope you don't mind me saying this. He said, I felt a little bit foolish because I didn't know this sooner than right now. And I said to him, there's no need for that. It's still a journey that we're on. Amen. So no matter where we're at, and sometimes the enemy would like to dumb down our revelation by thinking, man, I should have got this sooner. Oh no, you got it now. You got it today. And thank God for the understanding. For the revelation, for the direction. Amen. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, I am not where I want to be.
That's right.
Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. I am not where I want to be. I am not the man that I intend to be. I'm not done yet. God God, keep me on the potter's wheel. Get that junk out of me. Refine me, mold me, make me after your will, not after my will. Because there's still some old hard clumps in this clay. I said there's still some hard clumps in this clay. Maybe you've arrived. And if you have, well, praise God. I don't know why you're sitting on this pew. You ought to be telling the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere you go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But I stand before you unperfected. I said unperfected. I've got a lot that God can work on me. But I thank the Lord that He gave me the roadmap. We're going to take a look at the Holy Ghost today. Old Testament prophecy to New Testament fulfillment. There can be no way that this could be covered in one lesson. And I'm not going to try to do that. So I have decided to just give a snapshot or an overview of some of these things. So the very first part that we're going to start, I put it up on the screen. I've taken some extra time. Sorry for those of you that are feeling like you're shaking over here. I wanted that 2x4 to be done for probably, I don't know, a long time. I wanted that 2x4 to be done so it doesn't shake like that up in the attic. But we'll still love Jesus and be happy. But if you're looking over here and you get dizzy, I'm sorry. You can look over here and not be dizzy. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. So John chapter number 3, verses number 3 through 6. Jesus answered, and I put up there on the top of there, need of. The need of. John 3 and 3 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to understand, this is not just any man that is saying this. This is not just one of the apostles. This is not one of the prophets. This is not one of the men of old. This is Jesus. And I believe that all of us this morning could agree to the fact that if Jesus said it,
yes.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
There's no debate. There's no question. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again, or you cannot see. Now let me say this. When it said you cannot see, this word see is to comprehend or even begin to understand the kingdom of God. You cannot understand. You cannot comprehend. Therefore, if you cannot understand and comprehend, you cannot obey.
Right. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I can't obey something that I don't understand. Right?
Amen.
And so he said, you can't, you've got to see this. You've got to understand. You've got to comprehend. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit in order to comprehend, in order to understand the fullness of the kingdom of God. He also broke down what it was being born again, what it means, water and Spirit. So being born again, some people talk about being a born again Christian, and you want to ask them, have you been born of the water and of the Spirit? And many cannot answer that question. They just say, well, I just came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I accepted Him as my personal Savior back in 1987. And therefore, I've been born again. No, sir, and no, ma'am. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Two distinct experiences.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The New Testament, the little S in spirit is your spirit. That spirit of which makes you who you are as an individual. It is a small S. The big S in spirit, capital S, shows possession, shows proper properness. It is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. That is God's spirit that leads a man. Listen to me. Hear me right now. Our human spirit. So the scripture said, your human spirit must be born of his heavenly spirit. You've got to be born of his spirit. So you already got your little S spirit. You've already got your humanness. You already got to who you are, the essence of who you are. But now you have to be born of his heavenly spirit. Amen. So it's not something of this natural world. It's not something that you and I can say a little prayer, do a little ritual, shake a preacher's hand. Oh, I'm telling you today, that is so ingrained in tradition that I've got to confess to a preacher. No, you don't have to confess to a preacher. You got to confess to the only one that can forgive sins, and that is Jesus Christ. You've got to talk to him. You've got to express your sorrowfulness to Jesus. Amen. I'm getting a little off track. Sorry. It's supposed to be teaching. Next. Romans 8 and 9 said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say if.
Yeah.
If. If so be that the spirit of God dwell. Everybody say dwell.
Dwell.
If the spirit dwell in you. If, so it, using that word if means that there's a possibility that it doesn't dwell in you. And if it doesn't dwell in you, then you know you don't have
the Spirit.
Amen. Okay, so if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So when it says if, we go back to the beginning, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. The only way you're in the Spirit is if the Spirit dwells in you. In other words, if it doesn't dwell in you, you still got little S spirit. You still got your human spirit, and you need to be born of the Spirit, the heavenly Spirit. You need to be baptized with the glory and the power of Almighty God, and that is being born or baptized in the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have it, you can't claim Jesus really as your Father. You've got to have the Spirit. You've got to have the Spirit. Oh, don't take a detour on me now. Well, what about this? And well, what about that? The Bible said that you've got to have the Spirit. If you don't have it, the Bible said you're none of his. Well, you automatically get it when you take your first breath. No, we already established that's human spirit. The breath that you breathe is human spirit. It delineates from the heavenly spirit. It is not the same. You take a breath of life and thank God that you're breathing today. At least I think most of us are. Unless you're a mudfish and you don't need, you got... Well, all right, yeah. Thank God that you're breathing today. You have human spirit, but you need the Spirit of Almighty God. You don't just automatically get it. You don't get it by saying some little prayer. You don't get it by doing some little gesture. You don't.
That's right.
That's not how it comes. It's by his Spirit. We're going to get into that just real quick. This is written. Understand what this is written to. And I'll tell you this. I'm not going to go back there. But if you go back to Romans chapter 1, in the first verses, it says, written to the church at Rome. Okay? So this is a church that is already established. You cannot, hear me, you cannot find or gain salvation from the book of Romans. You can only learn how to get or to take what you already have and let it go on further. It is teaching to the church the history of the church, the foundation of the church, the beginning of the church is the Acts of the Apostles. It'll even say under your Bible in most places, Acts of the Apostles, the history of the church, the founding of the church. So if we go to Romans and it says it's written to the church at Rome, we already know that they did something back in the book of Acts to get established in the book of Romans.
Okay?
So he's just going on and he's reiterating to those saints at Rome, like I would be doing for you today. I'm reiterating to you, you cannot have this flesh and spirit. You've got to be born of the Spirit, the Heavenly Spirit. You cannot just say these things. You've got to have it dwelling in you, all right? Verse number 11 in chapter 8, right there on the screen. But if, everybody say if. Again, that word if, boy, I'm going to tell you what, there's been these words that are and if and shall and will, and just little words that we take for granted. If we were to really stop and consider all of those little words, it changes really the dynamic of each and every verse.
Yes, it does.
We could take for granted and just boogie on through and read it and not get the meat, not get the power of what is being said. All right? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that when they put Jesus in the ground and they rolled that stone over, and 3 days later, they come back to see, and the stone is rolled away, and he's gone. He's risen. That same Spirit, if that same Spirit dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice here several times, dwelleth in you, dwelleth in you. I'm going to tell you what dwelleth, when you talk about the word dwelleth, it's not a visitation.
No.
Right. Oh God.
That's good.
It's not a visitation. It's not, hey, I just came over to say hello and see how y'all are doing and hang out for about 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever and then get back in the car and leave. No, it's not a visitation. It's a dwelling. It's a place where you live. It's a place where you eat and you sleep and you drink and you play and you have fun. And you are every dynamic where he dwelleth in you. I can preach about being a spiritual house right now. Amen. Sometimes we get the attitude that, well, I'm going to go to church. And some people even go, oh, well, I got these clothes that I wear to church. Really? You ought to have the same clothes that you go to church in that you do everywhere else in. Because the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You have become a spiritual house. You have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when you leave out of this physical house, church is going with you, honey. Hello? I said church is going with you to the grocery store. God is going with you because he's dwelling on the inside of you. You don't leave God here at Souls Harbor in this four walls. You take God with you to the grocery store. You take him to the gas pump. You take them to your job. And that's why you don't give out a string of cuss words. Because God is dwelling
in you.
Amen.
That's why you don't just say, well, I'm just talking differently because I'm here in the church. No, when you've got the Holy Ghost, he's dwelling on the inside of you. So you have power with you everywhere you go. That word quicken means by spiritual power to arouse or invigorate. His Spirit gives us a new life. That is birth. New life. Oh God, have mercy. That is new life. That is new life. New birth. So he said the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. This fleshly body. That God's Spirit will arouse and invigorate me into a new life.
Right.
I'm not the same that I used to be.
Right.
And now there may be some things that you used to do that you still may do. But it's through the power of the Spirit that precept upon precept and line upon line and here a little and there a little. The Old Testament even talks about how he would drive out the enemies a little bit at a time. Why did he say that a little bit at a time? Because you couldn't handle everything at one time. Do you realize today that that's why the scripture even talks about like newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word? Amen. That it's precept upon precept. It's line upon line. So yes, you may be walking and stumble from time to time as you're on this journey. But it's precept upon precept, line upon line. I graduate from milk into baby food. And before too long, I'm eating steak. And I'm getting behind the preacher and saying, preach it. Get me saved. Help me live for God. Help me on this journey of life. I begin to grow. I begin to mature. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me and He helps me through these things.
Amen.
Promise up. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness be fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. If you go back to verse number 9 through 14, it is talking about life without God's Spirit. What do we talk about? We already talked about Old Testament prophecy and New Testament fulfillment. This is part, sorry, I need to slow down. This is part of that Old Testament prophecy. This is to get us to understand the Old Testament was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher. It was to methodically teach us some things that were going to come in the New Testament. So just taking this, remember we're just doing a snapshot. This isn't exhaustive. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Not just any spirit. We're talking. We get our head lifted up. We get our head set up in the heavenly. So it's not down here in the dirt because it's from on high. I'm looking up.
Right.
Be poured out from on high. And the wilderness, the desolate place, the place that is empty and dry and useless, now becomes a fruitful field. Poured out here is to empty out. So until God's Spirit is emptied out upon us from on high, we truly won't be fruitful. Oh God, pour out your Spirit again like the days of old. God, let your Spirit come in like a rushing mighty wind. Let the rain of your Spirit fall on me. Oh God, be emptied out. Oh, that just got me excited right there. I just want God to empty himself out. I wish somebody else would want the same thing. That God, I want you to empty. I want you to empty yourself out. In other words, God, I want you to give me everything that you've got.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Everything.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm going to pour out the Spirit on you. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah. Pour it out on me. Come on. Now, I can just pour out a little bit. I can just give him a little bit. Woo, man, doesn't that feel good? Thank you, Jesus. He's glad it's getting on him and not him. He didn't want it. He shook his head. He wanted it so bad, he said, hey, just pour it out on me. Is that all you want? You want a little bit? Or you want a little bit more? You want a little bit more? Just go ahead and give me a little bit more. Some of y'all are cringing. You're waiting for the finale, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what, Brother Jonathan? He had let me pour it on right now because he's so full of the Holy Ghost he can't hardly stand himself right now. He's so excited. I could do it right now. He didn't sit there wet and freeze and whatever. He'd endure everybody and he'd be so warm on the inside. He'd already be dry on the outside before time and over to church. I'm going to tell you, because God poured all out on me. Don't hold back anything from me. I want you to empty yourself out on me. Oh, I just wonder if there was somebody in this house that really you didn't want everything. God, I want everything that you have in store for me. I want you to empty yourself out on me. God, till there's nothing left. And we know that there will still be something left for God to give. But he gives us as human flesh to say, oh God, fill me up. Give me something miraculous. Give me something so full I can't stand myself. Give me something like the scriptures here, where it's filled up and overflowing, and it gets on the next person and the next person, and I'm so full because you emptied yourself out of me. In my bones. Ezekiel 36 and 26 up there still. A new heart will I also give you. I'm going to tell you that new heart is like that new birth. I'm going to take that old stony heart out and I'm going to put a new heart in you. I'm going to do something new inside your life because of the Spirit. And a new spirit will I put within you, not just around you. This is Old Testament prophecy. Can you imagine? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't ever want to ever say, oh, if I was in Moses' day, if I was in Abraham's day, if I was in Ezekiel's day, no, I'm glad to be in this day, because Ezekiel was saying about that spirit, he said it somewhere out there,
yeah.
But I am a fulfillment of that scripture that said a new heart will I give you. I am a fulfillment of that scripture, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart and out of your flesh, and it will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within. This isn't something that you just get. It's not a visitation. It's something that God intends to dwell in you, to reside in you,
right.
Take up permanent residence.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
And
hallelujah.
I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes.
Right.
And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Not because I have willpower, but because I will put my spirit within you. I can't do this on my own. I can't get to the treasure. I can't get over there. I can't get to the treasure that I so desire by myself. But oh God, I'm going to look into the perfect law of liberty. And oh, with the power of the Spirit. With the power of the Spirit, I forget teaching. With the power of the Spirit, you're going to reveal yourself. You're going to cause me to hate the things that you hate and love the things that you love. You're going to put something on the inside of me that says your law is not grievous. Jehovah Almighty God was speaking through that prophet Ezekiel, and he said he would put a new spirit within you that would fashion you, that would mold you, that would cause you to walk in newness of life. That's why when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't need all the things that you thought you couldn't live without. And that you couldn't change. You couldn't change on your own. But in the heart of hearts, you pray, God, I can't do this by myself. I can't quit these things. I can't walk this way. I can't live. I can't speak. I can't, oh God.
Oh, hallelujah.
But instead of saying, I can't, you can say, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. That's the fulfillment of that scripture. The things that you couldn't do, the things that you constantly found. Oh, God. Woo! I'm telling you, I can't do it by myself, God. Let me look on the roadmap. I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. I've got to be saved. It doesn't matter what anybody else said. God, I got to know what your word says. And notice there, he identifies his... this new spirit, excuse me, he said, a new spirit will I give, will I put in within you. And then notice what he does. In verse 27, he identifies the new spirit as his own.
That's right.
Yeah. Where we at? We're in the Old Testament, right? Yeah. He identifies the new spirit as his own spirit. Joel 2 and 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will, God will, Jehovah will, pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Jehovah God of the Old Testament said, I will pour out
my spirit.
Whose? His spirit. Not somebody else. Not Jehovah Jr. Not some third person in the Trinity. No. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Awesome. Y'all ain't excited about the oneness of God, but you ought to get excited all over again. He said, it's not Jehovah Jr. It's not the third person in the Trinity. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I am the Holy Ghost. I am the one. Because I'm preaching it, it's good because the Word of God said it. And I know the God that I serve. Acts 1, 4 and 5. He said, man, I wish I wasn't so fat. I could do something about that in Jesus' name. Oh, I got to get back to exercising again. Can't breathe like I'd like to breathe. Amen. Girls, quit cooking all that good stuff. Give me some greens.
Collard greens.
Every once in a while. I like brownies. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4. That was not of the spirit, that was of the flesh.
So you can delineate between the two.
Amen. Acts 1 and 4 said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. You've heard about this. You've heard about this. You've heard about this. You've heard about this promise. You've heard about this new spirit. You've heard about the spirit that he was going to put in us, because you read Ezekiel and you read Isaiah and you read and you read and you read.
Right.
And you, remember, that's a snapshot.
All the different places that the prophecy was foretold, it was going to happen. It was going to happen in Joel. My spirit, my spirit, my spirit. Right? So got that? He said that you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized. What does that mean? Baptizo means completely submerged. Not sprinkled like what I did over here with Jonathan a minute ago, but completely submerged. If I could, Jace, I'd take you over there and dunk you in that tank just to show everybody what submersion means. But you'd come out wet. And I don't know if you brought me extra clothes. But I'd love to do that and say, now this is what it means, submerged. And then I can pull him up out of the water and you can see him as a drowning rat.
We can't get our hair messed up. And we can't sweat.
Yeah.
And we can't...
Come on.
We got to look pretty and sophisticated and all put together. But I'm going to tell you what, if
If I could, Brother Jonathan, if I could baptize you, completely submerge you with the Holy Ghost, you would be so undone. You would be so undone. And you know what else? You wouldn't care. You wouldn't care. You wouldn't care what you look like. You wouldn't care what it sounded like. You wouldn't care how you acted. You would just be so submerged. It just wouldn't matter. You'd be so full of the Holy Ghost. It would just... talking about. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit. It's coming up. It's coming up. And I believe that if somebody wants it in this house today, you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost also. Hallelujah. 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 The promise of the Father was that he would baptize the church. You see, understand, this is still somewhat, understand what I'm saying, this is the transition. Let me say it like that. This is still in the transition of going from Old Testament to New Testament.
Right.
Got it?
Got it.
That's why he can say this in chapter 1, that you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days yet. It ain't happened yet.
Right.
But it's fixing to. And when it does, the completeness, the fullness of all the prophecy will come.
Right.
So you understand, this scripture is the transfer, or is a transfer. God, he's already descended from the earth and gone up into heaven. He's already been dead. He's been buried. He's risen again. All those things are set and done. And now they are here waiting in Jerusalem to receive the new Spirit.
Right.
He's waiting to receive the power of Almighty God. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, flip. But ye shall receive, everybody say power.
Power.
Everybody say power.
Power.
Okay. I got a lot of nobodies in here.
Come on.
You got a lot of nobodies in here. Because if you are to mimic me, when I say everybody, that means everybody. Now, is everybody breathing in here? Because if you aren't, we're going to give you, well, you need CPR. You need CPR. Because if you ain't breathing, now, I'm going to say it again. Because this is powerful.
Yeah.
And you got to get this. You got to get this.
Man.
You got to understand this. But ye shall receive power. I want you to say power.
Power. That was better. That was better. A couple of you put some lump into it. Some of you still went power. But that was better than the last time, because the last time you went. You sing.
Okay?
Ye shall receive power. Power. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Say power. Jumping up on your feet like that, doing it like that. Come here, help me out. Because they still ain't got it. Right. So when we get the Holy Ghost, we get power!
Power!
Yeah, yeah, we get power!
Power!
We get power!
Power!
Jesus, yeah. 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 Fill this young man with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. God, do it, Jesus. I'm telling you that ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, it did say after.
Okay, so some of us, you say, you're being mean, Pastor. No, I just want you to see this. I want you to see what I see up here. I want you to see what I see up here, okay? This is what I see. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Power. 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 He said it like six times. What is he gonna get? Power. He said, really, Pastor? Somebody's doing that out there? In the spirit, I see it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And the spirit, I see it. You say, this is foolish. This is nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. It's disobedience. I said it's disobedience. That's what it becomes. Because it becomes a rebellion inside in you that you won't say, power. I'm going to tell you, some of you just might get the power of the Holy Ghost if you just get it. You remember what being told? Well, just pray through.
You been told that before?
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got fellowship. Anybody else been told that before?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah. So, since you're Jeanette, did your mom and daddy tell you just pray through?
Yeah.
Did your pastor tell you just pray through?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More times than one?
Uh-huh.
Thank God. That's my way here today. That's my way here today. Just pray through. I've heard it as just pray through. I know you've heard it because I've said it. You need to just pray through. Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, but sometimes when it was said like that, it was almost like, just pray through or else.
Now, I'm going to tell you, there is something that's really good about this. That,
you know what? You can either pray through or get a whipping.
Said, well, that only has to do with kids. No, that has to do with me.
Because I'm going to tell you what.
God will whip you.
God will whip you.
Oh, yes, yes.
He'll give you a good old-fashioned whipping. Because the Holy Ghost, that praying through, that good old-fashioned renewing of God's Spirit will keep you out of sin. And sin, sin bringing forth death. So if I continue in sin, that means I don't have the Holy Ghost moving and reviving me day after day. So guess what? I'm going to get a pattern if I continue in my sin. So I got a choice.
I can pay the consequences
for me continuing in sin, or I pray through. So just pray through doesn't have to be a just pray through. Just pray through. Oh man, doesn't that feel good? Just pray through, why don't you?
If you would just pray through. Pastor, I got this guilt. I got this shame. I got this inaction. That's what I'm talking about. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Because you can't deal with the shame. You can't deal with the guilt. You can't deal with the anxiety. You can't deal with the stress. But if I was talking from the first year of our marriage, I would have to say, if we just prayed through, it'd be smoother.
Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
If we just prayed through, it would be smoother between us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost will help you. You don't want to be around your spouse, shame on you.
Right.
If you just pray through and get full of the Holy Ghost, you just might like her a little bit more. And if she gets full of the Holy Ghost, she might not be such a nag.
Right.
And if you get full of the Holy Ghost, you just might do.
Oh.
I had to hide behind the cross real quick because I got some daggers in the back. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will help. The Holy Ghost will fix things that are beyond your control. It'll make you a different individual. You'll be a new creature. You'll have new life. You'll have all God.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Who's saying it? If you had a red letter edition Bible, guess who's saying it?
Jesus.
I can't get away from the road map. The road says I've got to go here.
Right. That's right.
Why? Well, if you want to get to the treasure.
If you want to get to the treasure and you don't want to end up in the bar ditch, or you don't want to end off on an exit that takes you off into somewhere else.
Right.
And these signs, again, it says, shall follow them that believe. They shall, or a sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall. It's going to happen. Speak with new tongues. I would love to take you a little further on this journey, but I know it seems like every time I get to this place, I get right at that spot.
Hallelujah, my God.
The calluses on our posteriors have not been built to endure sound doctrine. Believers are expected, or to, let me say that, believers are to expect the supernatural when receiving the Spirit.
Oh yeah.
We ought to expect the supernatural. It ought not to feel like anything we've ever felt before.
You talk about superpowers. You always wanted to be a superhero?
I'm giving you the antidote to wear a big S on your chest.
Yes.
It's not an antidote. That's probably not the right one. Formula. There we go.
And I know that's... We know what we're talking about when we talk to Superman.
But I'm going to tell you, David said, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall.
Yes, yeah.
That nothing is going to stand in my way. I won't tell you the reason why David knew that is because he had the Spirit.
Yes.
We don't have the time this morning. We don't have the time this morning because it talks in several places where even John the Baptist and Elizabeth were filled with the Holy Ghost. But understand this. That was still Old Testament. That was still Old Testament will. When New Testament will came into effect was when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And then every place after that, when they received the Spirit, they spoke with new tongues.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got to give you just that snapshot. Because there's a lot of people that say, oh, no, you're automatically filled. No, you're not automatically filled with the Spirit.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. It's a distinct and separate experience.
Yes, it is.
And people want to bring up John the Baptist, and they want to bring up Elizabeth, and they want to bring up all those. It was still, they had the Spirit of God in them. They did not have it according to the New Testament, the will, the new will of God. This is how you will know
after
that point that you have the Spirit. There's so much. Would you stand? Oh, God. There is so much. I'm just going to... I don't want to ruin this, but I do want to... I'm just going to highlight real quick. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Ghost is going to teach you. So I didn't know this was wrong, and I didn't know that. That's okay. You get the Holy Ghost. It'll lead you, and teach you, and guide you. You'll do things that you go, oh, wait a second.
Something didn't feel right.
Yes.
You'll say something, you go, because
something on the inside, you go, oh, ouch, I'm sorry, that wasn't right, I shouldn't have said. You'll act in a certain way, you go, because of the Holy Ghost, it will teach you. And sometimes, and that's why the scripture said, the letter killeth. Scripture said the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive.
If we just go, Brother Barrett, face value in this Word of God
without the Spirit, it's hard. That's why them Pharisees, they couldn't do it. That's why when they came out and they grabbed that woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they thought, yeah, we got him this time. Uh-huh, we're going to show him.
That's why all of a sudden, one by one, they dropped that rock. They walked away, shaking their heads, saying, whoa, 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 whoa.
Because they realized that even though they may not have themselves been committing adultery, they had all of the manner of sin. They had all kinds of stuff that they themselves needed to take care of.
All right. And so, the letter killeth. Oh, if I just take it. Oh, that's even why the apostles even went later on and they said, hey, you guys, you're putting more on an individual. You shouldn't do it. Don't do that. We got to live by the word of the Lord. But don't do all this. I'm not going to get into that, but just suffice it to say. And then they would go right into the need of the Spirit. They'd go right in. You know why? Because they knew. They knew something. And Paul even said, the things that I would, that I do not. The things that I would not. Man, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's me, Lord. But somewhere, this still gives me the direction, but I'm thankful. Hey, I can do that. I can do all. Somebody say all. I was just slumped shouldered, stoop shouldered, not being able to hold my head up because of shame and guilt, fear and condemnation. But somebody said, I can do all things. All of a sudden. Woo! How am I going to do it? Not because of some simple sinner's prayer. Not because of some antics. Not because of shaking a preacher's hand. Not because of confessing at a confessional booth. But because I can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And He can show me all mysteries. He can show me things that I did not know. But now, through the power of the Spirit,
amen.
I can.
Amen.
I can.
Amen.
And that's why He said, out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I want to help you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, I need you to pray right now and get yourself in tune with the Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, when you get it, will somebody help me and feel that the Holy Ghost? Not if you get it, but when you get it. If you don't have it right now, when you, oh God, not if, but when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. As the Spirit gives the utterance, as Almighty God from heaven gives you the utterance. Keep praying. If you don't have it, I'm telling you, you're gonna get it. And when you get it, you'll speak in tongues. But I want you to hear me right now. I want you to pay close attention to me. Don't seek to speak in tongues, but seek the Holy Ghost. Seek God. Seek the Spirit. Don't seek tongues. That will come. That's only a sign that it will come. But what you need to seek is the Holy Ghost. Look for Him. Anticipate His entrance. Oh God, help me right now in Jesus' name. Anticipate. Look for God. I'm waiting like they did in the New Testament. I'm waiting for the promise of your Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I am going to worship you. I am seeking after you. I want you to empty yourself out.
upon me today. 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 Today, God. I want you to empty yourself out on me today. Too often people get thinking about the tongues and they say, well, what is it going to sound like? I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid of what it's going to sound like. I'll just tell you this much. It will sound heavenly. I said it will sound heavenly. It will sound like anything you ever heard before. It'll sound heavenly. It'll feel glorious. It'll feel spectacular. It'll feel like nothing you've ever felt before in your life. Much more shall your heavenly Father give you His Spirit. Give to them His Spirit that ask. I want you to pray right now. Those of you that already got the Holy Ghost, you're already praying. You're already setting the atmosphere, the tone. You're already feeling the pouring out of His Spirit, the sound of a rushing mighty wind setting upon each of you. I pray that's what you're feeling right now, because there's some others that need the Spirit of God to be poured out on them. They need the breath of life to be breathed into them. They need the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to touch them in Jesus' name right now. Come on with somebody. Holy Ghost filled believer, get into the realm of the Spirit. Forsake your flesh. Get out of your flesh. Get your flesh under control, under submission, and submit yourself unto God so God can work in this house. I shouldn't have to pump you and grind you. It ought to be spontaneous. There's some people that can't live on their own. They gotta have the Spirit. They gotta have the Spirit. Pour it out, Jesus. Come on. Come on. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. I feel you still gotta get yourself ready. Come on. There's somebody you still gotta get yourself ready to be filled. To be filled. God, I'm asking you. I'm seeking you right now. Come on, if you're feeling the Holy Ghost right now, starting to draw you, well, come on, sing to God right now. Come on, Holy Ghost, feel the believer. You don't have the power in and of yourself, but you have God dwelling on the inside of you. Will you help me pray in the Spirit? God, draw. God, draw right now. God, draw right now. God, pour out your Spirit. Let the wind of your Spirit breathe in this house. Let the wind of your Spirit breathe in this house. Come on. Come on. It's for your children. Come on.